loved us, that he paid the price for us. And sometimes if we don't understand how wonderful and awesome it is to know that our God's forgiven us, I'm telling you something, friends. I'm going to be honest. When you understand what Jesus Christ did for you, I think that's probably one of the greatest things that is not happening among Christians today. Now listen to me. When you truly understand what Jesus Christ did for you, there's no way in the world you could do the things that you do. No way in the world could you go out there and openly hurt him by the lives that sometimes we live that are so ungrateful for what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. And there's anything I wish that Christians would learn today would be that. Because someday you'll stand before him and he says to you, I loved you. I know your life. I gave mine for you. Wow, great song. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn with me to the book of Hebrews. To the book of Hebrews. Next Sunday, we'll get back into Samson and continue our wonderful study of his life. And I've enjoyed it, missed it. But man, I'm telling you, we've had some great services here. Enjoyed so much what our children did last week. Was absolutely awesome. I don't think the gospel could have been presented any better than what our kids did from this stage. And I'm so very, very proud of them. We come today, which is still considered a weekend of holidays, as we celebrate the new year coming up on Friday, New Year's Eve on Thursday. And I just felt led to preach this message because I think it's something that all of us need to know. 2009 has been for many of us a very, very interesting year. We've gone through a lot here in our country and in the lives of many of our people in our church. We've gone through a rough economic times. We've had battle over health care. Yesterday, another terrorist attack that was fortunately not pulled off on a plane full of Americans. Many people today have lost their jobs. Others have been cut back drastically in their income. Some of them this year found out that they've had cancer or other sickness that is so hard to deal with. Many family members are struggling or in trouble or serious problems. I mean, it's just one thing after another has happened to many, many people in our congregation and around our world this year. And the big question that every single one of us ask at this time of year is, what does 2010 hold for us? What is next year going to be? Some people say, well, I really pray it'll be better than this year because this year was a really rough one. Although I've heard some say it was a great year for me, and I pray that it will be a better year for me in 2010. That is always our desire, that we will have a better year next year than we did the previous year. But the interesting thing for all of us is we really don't know. We have no clue what 2010 holds for us. Actually, today I thought about that subject. And so today I want to preach a message and I pray with all my heart will speak to you. If you've got a pencil and a paper, you may want to pull it out because I'm going to share with you some pretty powerful things that I truly will help you face 2010 without any fear. Be able to face 2010 without any fear. That's my goal, to be able to teach you that today, because I know that many of us are afraid of the unknown. We do not know what this year is going to bring, but we do know one thing: God is going to go with us as we face 2010. I heard some men years ago that were on a leaky old ship in the middle of a rough and stormy sea, and they were very, very fearful of their lives. They didn't know whether they were going to sink or not. So one of them decided that he would go to the captain and ask the captain his opinion. And he said, sir, are we safe? The captain thought for a moment. He said, young man, he said, let me put it to you this way. The boilers on this ship are very, very weak and cannot take the rough waters that we're experiencing right now. So probably in any moment they could explode and this ship would be literally destroyed. And he said, also, to be honest with you, he said, it is becoming very leaky. As you know, we're taking on water. So with any moment, this ship could absolutely sink to the bottom. He said, I'll tell you this. We may go up, we may go down, but at any rate, we still have got to go on. My friends, that is the way that you and I must face 2010. Jesus may come this year, which would be awesome with me. Jesus may come this year and we may go up. Some of us may this year in 2010 and we may go down and then go up. I wasn't going to leave you down there, okay? Go down and then go up. But there's one thing I can tell you about 2010. All of us have got to go on. All of us have got to face what Friday is going to bring to us in this next 12 months that you and I are going to face. But what I want to teach you this morning, and the whole purpose of preaching, and I pray that 2010 I'll get even better at it for you, is that I want to teach you how to apply the Word of God to your life. This past year we started making the Bible very, very powerful to us. I've asked all of you, please make sure that when you come to the house of God, you bring your Bible. We're not here to entertain you. We're not here to make you feel good. We're not here to help you with anything else, to learn this Word. And understand that this Word is powerful, as a two-edged sword, applies just as much today as the day in which it was written. God wants us to take this recipe called the Lord's Word and use it in our lives and help us to understand what God wants. So again, this year, I will put the emphasis on the Word of God. And I will encourage you to bring your Bible with you. I will not be preaching out of newspapers, magazines, or social gospel. My friends, I will be preaching every Sunday from this sacred pulpit the Word of God. Because this is what makes the difference. And you and I need to learn it more and more every day. So let's take the Word of God. Let's hold it up in honor of our Lord and say, God, this is the Word I'm going to study, I'm going to learn, I'm going to read, and I'm going to apply it. Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to read only two verses this morning, but in these two verses, watch out. We've got something we can literally learn to help us face 2010. Let's look at verse 5 and verse 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? In these two verses are four incredibly wonderful thoughts that you and I can apply for the new year. And I want you to apply them to your heart today and get ready to face whatever is ahead. I want you to put your shoulders back. I want you to put a smile on your face. And I want you to be able to say, as you face the new year, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear. You ready to try that? Throw your shoulders back, put a smile on your face, and let me hear you say it. The Lord is my helper, and I shall not fear. One more time. The Lord is my helper, and I shall not fear. My friends, when you get that into your life, when you get that down where it belongs, it absolutely will help you face whatever 2010 has in store for you. You're ready for these four wonderful points? They're in your bulletin if you want to look at them there. If you got a pencil, paper, get a pen. You want to write some things down and then go back and look at them as you face this year coming up. Number one. And I believe if there's anything that will help you more than anything in your life is this statement. Number one, learning to be content or satisfied with what God has provided. Let me tell you something, friends, that is an awesome principle. What a principle for us to share during this Christmas season. Learning to be content with what God has provided. Look at it in verse 5, the first part of this verse. Let your conduct be without conversation. Be content with such things as you have. You ever thought about that? Wouldn't it be awesome if you and I could face 2010 contented? I want to give you a statement. You may want to write this down because this is awesome. Contentment is not getting what you want. Now listen, contentment is wanting what you already have. Did you hear that? Contentment is not getting what you want. Contentment is wanting what you already have. I experienced that somewhat this past Christmas when my wonderful grandchildren were blessed with many, many great gifts that they got. And they got several games for their various things that they put on TV that Papaw's absolutely horrible at. But anyway, you know, this, just to give you an idea, I'm playing this game last night with my grandchildren, you know, and I'm learning to, you know, push these buttons and go. And we went into some castle and we were trying to get to the next level. And so for the last several times, I went with them, okay? Pretty soon, Jacob turns around and he says, "Papaw, will you do Katie and I a favor?" And I said, "What's that, sweetheart? Will you just drop out and let us try to get to the next level?" Hey, is that love? I'm telling you what. But anyway, I saw this so many times when our kids just, you know, they got all of these nice things. But you know what? One of the things they got? A gift card. And you know what they wanted to do yesterday? Not to be content with what they got, but take the gift card and get something else. You know, and I thought, isn't that so many times in our life the way you and I are? We have never in our lives many times learned to be content with what we already have. You see, contentment will make a poor man rich. A discontented makes a poor man poor. There's one poor man said to a rich man, "I'm richer than you are." And he said, "Why is that?" He said, "Because I have everything I want and you don't." You see, no matter how much you have, if you are discontented, you are really poor. Sometimes we want what we don't need. Sometimes we need things we don't need. We get them all mixed up. We're so confused in our life. I heard about two tears that met each other along the river of life. One of the tears said to the other tear, "Where did you come from?" Oh, this tear says, "I'm the tear of a girl who loved a man and lost him." He said, "Where do you come from?" He said, "I'm the tear of a woman who found him and married him." Think about that. Now, many times we think we want something. Many times we think we need something in our lives, but we really don't. We get our luxuries and our necessities confused. Now, I want to teach you something, friends. In the Bible, I want you to write down in your notes that you're taking today this verse, because this verse says a lot for you and I to learn to be content. I tell people all the time, I am convinced, and I may be wrong, but this is my financial advice that I give people all the time. "Pastor, how can I live better financially?" And I said, "I'll tell you this, and I believe this. When you learn to be happy with what you have, then God will give you more." Do you hear what I said? When you learn to be able to live on what you are making and happy with what you have got, then I believe the principle is God will give you more. But the problem is so many people today are not happy with what they've got. They don't understand the tremendous blessings that they have. Somebody asked me, "Pastor, what all did you get for Christmas?" Well, I'll be honest with you, I didn't get a whole lot for Christmas. But I got the greatest Christmas gift of all. I spent it with my family. And I got to sit around our house and just enjoy the kids making all the noise and my children and my beautiful wife there. What more could I ask? I was blessed. I was rich when it comes to understanding what Christmas is all about. Here's your verse. You ready? 1 Timothy 6:6. Write it down. 1 Timothy 6:6. Here's what was said. "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Do you hear that? Godliness with contentment is great gain. Friend, let me tell you something. You are so rich today. If you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, you should be content. You should be happy. I'm telling you, it's a great gain. If you know Jesus Christ, you have contentment. Listen to what he says in the rest of that verse. "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we will carry nothing out. But having food and raiment, let us therefore be content." If I know Jesus Christ and I've had a meal today and I've got clothes to wear, praise God! I'm a blessed man! And we need to learn to be content with that. We've got problems in our lives today with so many people wanting so many other things. Remember what Ecclesiastes tried to teach us in chapter 5, verse 10? He that loves silver shall never be satisfied with silver. Either you can't get enough of it, or when you do get it, you find out it doesn't meet your need. Well, Jesus explained it to us in Luke chapter 12. He said this, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses." Your deepest need in your life, that voidness in your life, cannot be met with material things. Now, there's nothing wrong with material things. Please understand me. But they just simply cannot satisfy the deepest longing in a man's heart and a man's life. You remember what the psalmist said? The psalmist said it this way, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of our hearts." The Bible teaches us over and over and over again, my friends, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind, and He will take care of everything else. That doesn't mean that you'll have every surface need met. That doesn't mean you're going to have every whim met. That doesn't mean you're going to have every fancy met. That doesn't mean you're going to have every lust of your eyes or flesh satisfied. No, it means this, that when you find Jesus Christ, when you have fun being a Christian, when you delight yourself in the Lord, whatever your heart seeks for, God will make sure that you'll find it. When your heart yearns for God more than anything else in your life, then my friends, God will reach down and touch your life in such a powerful way. That's what contentment is all about. He's talking about living our life without fear. You know what we have fear of? Let me tell you something, friends. We have fear of something because we think our needs are not going to be met in 2010. Because we think that the things we think are meeting our needs are going to be taken away from us. I don't think there would be anything worse than losing your job. I don't think there would be anything worse than having your income cut. But my friends, I know this. If you have Jesus Christ as a part of your life, He will take care of you. He'll watch over you. They cannot take this away. There's an old song that I love. I love this old song. It says this, "The world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away." What's that saying? The thing that I have found joy in life, the world did not give that to me. And I'll tell you this, the world cannot take that away from me. Let me tell you what Paul says when he wrote in chapter 4 of Philippians. He said this in verse 11, "Know that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned," and I love this, "in whatsoever state I am in, therewith," Paul said, "I will be content." Now, when Paul wrote this, keep in mind, he was in prison. And he said, whatever state I'm in, I've learned to be content. He went on to say in that same verse, "I've learned that whatsoever state I'm in, there will I find content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be hungry and both to abound. In both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer." But he said this, "I know this. I can do all things with Christ who strengthens me." You see, learn to be happy with what you got. Have contentment, dear friend, of all the things that He has provided for you, and God will take care of you. You say, "Preacher, that's preacher's talk." Well, let me say this to you with all my heart, with all my love. It's not preacher's talk, my friends. It's Bible talk, because that's exactly what the Bible teaches us, to be happy, to learn to be happy no matter what the world is pushing at me, to say, "My God is my strength. My God is my provider. My God will take care of me no matter how tough things may be." Number one, you want to face 2010 without fear? Then let your conversation, That means let your life learn to be content with the things that God has given you. Because I've learned one thing about life, friends. Those things could be gone tomorrow. They could be gone tomorrow. Those tragic words I hear constantly at funerals. I wish I'd had more time. I wish I would have said, I love you. I wish we'd have talked more. I wish. You could be living your last day on this earth. Every one of us could. We have no clue. When's the last time you told those around you you loved them? When's the last time you told those around you, thank you for your friendship and what you mean to me? Thank you, God, for what you've given me today, for I have no promise of tomorrow. Number two, not only should we learn to be content with what God's given us, and that takes fear away from facing 2010, but my friends, we ought to know that His presence is always going to be there. Look back at 13, chapter 5, the second part of verse 5. This is awesome. For He Himself hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. My friends, I don't know what I'm facing next year, but I know one thing I can be guaranteed of. My Lord is never going to leave me, or my Lord is never going to forsake me. Isn't that wonderful? In Him I have all. And I know that my God is always going to be there no matter how tough it may be. This is some of the most encouraging words that you'll ever read in the Bible. You see, we fear many times of the unknown because we're not knowing what we're going to face and we don't want to face it alone. I've talked to so many people who get so lonely during this time of the year. Dr. Maslow, in a book written, a famed research analyst, said this: the truth is that the average American does not have a real friend in this world. That's what the psychiatrist said. A psychiatrist by the name of Alfred Adler said this: all human failures, listen to this, all human failures spring from the lack of love. And then he named some of them. He said, alcoholism comes from the lack of love. Workaholics from the lack of love. Depression from the lack of love. Suicide from the lack of love. He said, all this springs back to one thing: we think we are alone. People need someone to love. People need to be loved. And without it, their lives are filled with fear. Without it, nothing scares us more than anything than being alone. And facing the next year all by myself is a very scary thing to grasp onto. But I've got some good news for you this morning. If you are a child of God, if you are a Christian, if you've asked Jesus Christ into your life, I got some news for you, my friends. You are not alone. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Yes, this world might. Yes, there are things around me that might. But you can be guaranteed Jesus Christ never will. The Greek scholars tell us that in this simple verse are five negatives. Now, I know we're taught in English that we're not supposed to have double negative. But evidently, it wasn't a bad Greek, because here's what it said. It says this: I will never, no, not ever, no, never leave nor forsake you. He says never. No matter what happens, Christian, no matter what goes on, child of God, I will always be there. I want you to think with me for that moment, word forsake and leave. It says, I will never walk away from you. I will never abandon you. I will never give up on you. That's exactly what the Bible says. Teaches us one of the greatest blessings of being a Christian is knowing that my God is always there no matter what is going to take place in my life. I know I'm talking to some women today whose husbands have walked out on them. I know I'm talking today of some kids whose fathers have forsaken them. I know I'm talking to some men whose wives have left them, and they have felt abandoned and forsaken. And I know there's a void in your life, but please let me say this to you. You are not alone. Jesus is there. God is there. Psalm 116:8 put it this way. For if you've delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. When you're discouraged, always realize that he's there. When you're down, always know that he could cheer you up. When you're lonely, which sometimes this time of the year is the loneliest time of all. People are told everywhere to be happy, and it's so hard when there's no one there. Death, divorce, desertion has made you so lonely. But let me tell you something, friends. There's one thing you can count on. Your God is there. He's there. I read this week, and I want you to think with me for a moment because it's pretty awesome. This is pretty awesome. You know what worry is? And all of us worry so much. You know what worry is? And I thought, man, I mean, this kind of got me a little bit. I don't know whether I like this statement, but it's pretty neat. He said this, worry is a mild term of atheism. Think about that for a moment. Worry is a mild form of atheism. You say, what do you mean, preacher? If I worry, then I'm admitting that my God can't take care of anything. I'm admitting that all things are not possible with the God in which I believe in. That's atheism. It's a mild form of it. We need to put our trust in the Lord. We need to know that God's going to see us through. Yeah, you're going to be tempted, my dear friend. We've talked about that many times, but you can close the door. And there is no doors that Satan can open that God has locked because he's always there. He speaks to us. You just need to listen. He guides us. You just need to follow. He directs us. You just need to understand. Because God does not let you go, no matter how far off the path you got. His number one goal is to get you back where you belong. Because God cares. Face 2010 without fear, because I am content with the things of which my Lord has provided me. And number two, I am thankful that he will never leave me nor forsake me. Number three, I could face 2010 because I have confidence in his promise. Why don't you go back with me to verse 5. I want you to notice something here. He says this. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with all things that you have. Now watch this. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know why I can count on that? Because the preacher said it? Nope. You know why I can count on that? Because all my family and friends told me about it? Nope. I can count on that because he said it. He said it. My friends, I can have confidence in his promise. A promise is no better than the one who makes it. And if the one who makes it can fulfill it, then that's what makes the promise so real. I've told you over and over again, this is not a book of do's and don'ts. This is a book of promises. Promises that God said he will help us through no matter what. 1 Corinthians 13:8, there is absolutely nothing this world could do to me that my God will not find an escape. I know that to be a promise. He will never forsake me. He will never leave me. I know that to be a promise. This book is full of promises. Nothing is impossible for my God. That's his promise. And we need to claim that. You've heard me say this about that bumper sticker. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Baloney. God said it, and that settles it whether you believe it or not. When God speaks, my friend, it's done. And our Lord has spoken. That is the reason why I've said you've got to get into this word, because it's in this word you will find the truth. It's in this word you will find the promises. It is in this word you'll find the strength. It is in this word you get to know, understand, believe, and grasp on who God really is. And my God will take care of us. When there's something wrong in my life, when I'm going through a rough time, it is he who I call out to. It is He that I claim His promises. He is the one, the only one that I know that can give me a peace that passeth all understanding. He is the only one that I know that I can stand beside the casket of a loved one and say goodbye and survive. He is the only one that I know when a financial problem comes through and I don't know whether or not you're going to make it tomorrow. He is the only one that promised me that He would get me through tomorrow. All things work good for those who love the Lord and are living according to His promise. When we're doing the best we can to be what God wants us to be, I got some news for you, friends. He'll take care of you. Now listen, you can make a mess out of it. Don't you dare discount that. You go around messing around. You go around living in sin. You go around and doing things like that. You are messing your life up. Don't you dare blame God. Don't you dare blame God. God didn't cause the mess. You did. But God never gives up on you. He promised that. You just got to get your life back where it belongs. Remember I said all things work good to those who love the Lord? I love that verse. But don't grab the first part of that verse unless you grab the second part. And are for those who are living according to His purpose. All things will work good for us if we're living the way God wants us to live. That's a promise of God. That's His promise. If I'm doing the best that I can to serve my Lord, to be content in the things that God gives me, my friends, all things will work good. I may not see it right now, may not understand it right now, but all things will work good. Okay, you got it? How are you going to face 2010 without any fear? Number one, be contented with what you have. Be contented with what you have. Have confidence in the promise that God has given you. And know that His presence is always there. And I want to give you the last thing, and here it is. This will change your life. Verse 6. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear. For what can man do to me? I want you to hear something. When you and I have confidence in His presence, when you and I have contentment with the things in which God has given me, when you and I understand His promises, then I can say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. There is nothing man can do to me that can take that away. Nothing this world can do could take away my contentment. Okay, well, world, take away my money, take away my job, take away my financial security, but I have the Lord, and I am content in the Lord, and He will make sure that I have those things in which I need. He will provide for me. World, you cannot take that away. You cannot take away from me, the world, the presence of God. My God is always with me no matter where I go, no matter what I do, no matter where I am. My Lord is always there. He said to me He would never leave me. He'd never forsake me. And world, you cannot take away the promises He has made for me in this book. So therefore, world, I can face 2010 and say, I will not fear, for the Lord is with me no matter what man does to me. Watch this. As a matter of fact, world, take my life this year. And guess what? You still didn't win. Because absent from the body is present with the Lord. Kill me, Lord. Kill me, world. Kill me, world. It's okay. It's all right. Because I'm going to a better place. A place, no more tears, no more hurt, no more worry. So you see, world, I got some news for you. I don't know what you got planned for me in 2010, but I know this. You cannot win. You cannot. Because my Lord is with me. And I will not fear. I will not fear. For I know He is my helper. I don't know what to tell you that 2010 is going to bring to you. I have no clue. I look over this wonderful congregation who I love so very much, more than anything else in the world, and I have no clue what's going to happen to you. I don't know if I'm going to be standing by your bedside as you're going on to meet the Lord. I don't know whether I'm going to be there to help you out financially to see what's going on. I don't know if I'm going to be sitting with you when some of your family members go through a tragedy and a terrible thing. I have no clue. And you have no clue what's going to happen to me. But I'll tell you one thing, friends. I am so thankful my God is here. And I am so thankful my God is real. I'm not worshiping a dead God. I'm not worshiping a God who does not care about me or care about you. I'm worshiping a God who is real. And the question is, are you where God wants you to be? Are you content with the things that He's given you? Do you understand His presence? Do you know His promises? And can you say, I face next year without fear, for the Lord is my helper? I don't know what's going to go on with the economy. I don't know what's going to go on in the political realm. I have no clue, but you know what? I can't stop it. God's in control. I just have to learn to trust Him. What happens, Pastor, if Jesus comes back today? Come on. What happens if 2010 is the year He returns? Come on. Paul said, I'll stand boldly before my Lord and say, Lord, I've fought a good fight. I've done everything I possibly can to live for you. Not perfect, made a lot of mistakes, but oh Lord, I tried. I tried to be what you want me to be. Because my friend, that's the only thing that can give you peace. Now, if you don't know Jesus Christ today, you have a lot to be afraid of. Yeah, you're going to face the same things I'm going to face. We're going to walk through the same rough time that you're going to walk through. But you see the difference between you who do not know Christ and me? You know what the difference is? I've got Jesus and you don't. I'm not alone. You are. I have the power and the strength of the power of the Holy Spirit in me. You don't. That's the difference. Oh, I'll walk through the same stuff. May even be rougher than what you walk through. But I'll survive. Because my Lord is there. But if you don't know Him, I'm sorry. It's going to be tough. But you can get a chance to know Him. You can come today and get to know Him. You can ask Jesus Christ into your life today and face 2010 not alone anymore. You could come today and ask Christ to forgive you, come into your life and save you, and you could walk out of this church going, I am not afraid. Because the Lord is with me. If you don't know Christ today, we want to give you that opportunity. But oh Christian, don't face 2010 in sin. Don't face 2010 making a mess of your life. Don't face 2010 rebelling against God. Don't face 2010 with your life messed up. Because I got some news for you. Things are going to happen and you're not going to stop it. But do you want them to happen with you out of God's will? Wow. What's wrong, Christian? You don't want that. Today, get it right. Bow with me in prayer. Father, as we